This is ARN, the Advanced Radio Network.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. Now in our 10th season, a decade of Into Tomorrow. Brought to you in part by TigerDirect.com for all your computer and electronic needs. We cover how technology is changing our lives. Home theater, gadgets and gizmos, digital photography, home networking, automation, HDTV, and everything else you and your friends are talking about. Today we're presenting another special on-location broadcast, so that means no phone calls or emails this time around. But we do invite you to visit our website for links to all of our guests at Graveline.com. Now, for the latest in consumer electronics and technology, here's Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline.
And we are definitely presenting another on-location broadcast, this one from Japan, the beautiful country of Japan, near Tokyo, at SeaTech 2005. We've been talking for several months about our excitement coming to this show. We are here. It's all about the advancing ubiquitous society, revealing what's next and changing tomorrow. I love some of their slogans. SeaTech Japan, providing image, information, and communications. Hundreds of companies from all over the world are represented here. Some 200,000 attendees, as a matter of fact. Very, very big show here in this part of the world, certainly. And we are delighted to be a part of their success and excitement here, because we're bringing as much of SeaTech 2005 to you, our listeners, as we can. Right out of the box, and before I forget, a very special welcome to our two newest radio station affiliates. First, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, an area that's been quite busy lately. Well, we are delighted to be heard now on the Capitol's Big Talker 1300 WIBR. Thank you for bringing your listeners into tomorrow. Know that you can hear us each and every week right here at this time on what is no doubt your favorite radio station, 1300 WIBR, the Capitol's Big Talker. Also, WLPO, 1220 AM in Oglesby, Illinois, joins us as well as one of our newest affiliates. Special thanks to Program Director John Spencer. They are the voice of the valley, WLPO, 1220 AM. Delighted to have you guys on board as well. We hope that all of us, all of you listening, tune in to us each and every week. By the way, next week we'll be back in the U.S. of A. in New York for Digital Life, as we're broadcasting from the Javits Center in New York City and bringing you Digital Life from the AMD exhibit. So it's a very busy travel time for us as well. We'd like to kick off our special SeaTech 2005 broadcast with the president of JETA. This is the Japan Electronics and Information Technology Industries Association. That's a mouthful, but it's a big organization that produces SeaTech, one of their many shows, the biggest of their many shows, certainly. But welcome the president of JETA, and I'm hoping I get your name right. That's going to be a challenge for me for the next 3 hours of today's broadcast. But let me try Kazu Kaneko. Am I close?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. That's welcome good. To the program. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you very much.
It's our pleasure, too, because we thank you for inviting us. We have been very, very happy with the kinds of things we're seeing on your show floors here in a very several big exhibit halls, eight mm-hmm. huge exhibit halls with all kinds of companies. As we look out, we're overlooking the show floor here in our broadcast booth position, which is really excellent. Kind of reminds me of an American political convention where the broadcasters overlook the floor and all the convention. We're looking out at NEC and KDDI and NTT Docomo and TDK and a whole bunch of companies that are here on the show floor. Big companies from all over the world, certainly the majority from Japan.
Yeah.
And how many exhibitors do you have this year?
This year we have about 800 companies, and 800 companies is bigger than we used to have. then this is, I think, as for CTEC, this is the largest this year.
Really?
And yes,
this is
800.
800 companies.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean 800 exhibits, because of those 800 companies, several they have several exhibits throughout the various areas of the show, showing different things and different great consumer electronics products, new technologies, some software, hardware, all sorts of unique things. A lot of digital entertainment as well. I mentioned 200,000 exhibitors expected this year. That's pretty good. You had an opening day yesterday that was the best ever attended. So a lot of people coming from all parts of the world to see what CTEC has to offer.
Yes, this CTEC is very unique, different from other exhibitions. The point is CTEC has consists of many IT equipment, electronics, consumer electronics and components, devices. This CTEC exhibition is very comprehensive. This is very unique, I think, in the world.
Yeah, and the fact that you've been doing this for five other years, you've been building this show very dramatically. So this year is the biggest, the most attendees, a lot of exhibitors, a lot of excitement going on. What is JATA's involvement with CTEC? You are the producers of the show, right?
They
own the show.
JATA is the association of producers. We have many wide variety of companies, such as electronics companies, IT companies, software companies. That's why the CTEC, we are the main sponsor of CTEC. Then the to provide using this CTEC, we provide the new image, new technology to consumers or the attendees by utilizing IT technologies, electronics technologies. So that's why the many people come and see. And if you see these exhibitions, you can understand future stage of life or industries, industry stage by utilizing IT technologies.
Certainly the rest of us all around the world know that the vast majority of our consumer electronics that we use come from this part of the world, here in Japan. You guys know what you're doing as it relates to consumer electronics and what people want, especially for entertainment, things to help them be more productive in business. Many, many electronics that are designed here, developed here, miniaturized here, making things very, very unique. What new technologies have you seen so far here at CTEC that are getting people excited?
Yes, as for consumer electronics, you can see in the CTEC, many, many new types of the digital home equipment.
A lot of digital home equipment.
Such as flat panel display. Flat panel displays using LCD display, plasma displays, even the SED. This is new type of display, SED, and organic LED. This is very new type of display. These technologies make the new type of home electronics equipment.
Sure.
That's why the digitalization will make new home consumer electronics.
Certainly the home of tomorrow, right?
Yeah, that's right, yes. Yeah.
As we go further into tomorrow. Well, I know that you want us to be able to talk to as many of your exhibitors over the next three-hour program as we possibly can. So we're going to let you go. You have a busy schedule meeting with many exhibitors and signing them up for next year already because they're so happy to be here. And hopefully we'll have the opportunity to come back again because so far what we have seen here at CTEC has been very interesting. We are excited about bringing it to our listeners all around the U.S. and the world. Thank you, sir, very much, and continued good luck to you.
This year we are aiming the internationalized CTEC. So that's why the many foreigners, many
well, we are foreigners.
Many people, many people from all over the world.
Right.
We are very pleased to have many foreigners.
Well, it's our pleasure as well. The president of the Japan Electronics and Information Technology Industries Association, the producers of CTEC 2005, Kazuo Kaneko. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back with more, of course, from SeaTech 2005 here in Japan. Lots to come, so you don't want to miss any of today's show. If for any reason you have to miss any, maybe you have to go to work or something, know that we have our podcasts available. The archives are going to be on the website at graveline.com or intotomorrow.com. And check them out anytime at your convenience. Since we took a long flight here to Japan, it would have been great to be able to surf the web wirelessly on that flight. Well, unfortunately, Delta's not that high-tech. But with news about other airlines that are, here's Ralph Bond.
Thanks, Dave. 70 planes flying more than 100 daily flights worldwide offer their passengers something I can't wait to try. I'm talking about popping open my laptop and connecting wirelessly to the internet while in flight using Intel Centrino mobile technology. Imagine keeping up with work or personal email, getting the latest news, and even enjoying streaming web music or videos. And doing all of this from the comfort of your airplane seat thanks to the Connection by Boeing service. Today, passengers may surf wirelessly at high speeds on intercontinental flights on Lufthansa, Scandinavian Airlines, Japan Airlines, ANA, Singapore Airlines, China Airlines, and Korean Air. Wi-Fi in the sky is a great trend. And for a reliable and rewarding experience, Connection by Boeing and Intel recently announced that these hotspots in the sky work great with laptops featuring Intel Centrino wireless technology. For more information, visit connectionbyboeing.com or intel.com/Centrino. For Into Tomorrow, I'm Ralph Bond with Intel.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. Dave Graveline with you as we have been talking for some time, broadcasting from SeaTech Japan near Tokyo this week at the big SeaTech Japan exhibition. Lots of guests on the three-hour program today, several exhibitors, several folks that we are finding here that are experts in their fields in various ways or other, including our next two guests. Delighted to chat with them. Mobikyo is a Japan wireless intelligence company. I like the name right off the bat, with three divisions: Wireless Watch Japan, Mobile Intelligence Japan, I'm getting scared now, and Mobile Monday. And with us from Mobikyo, Lawrence
Koshishi.
Easy for me to say. I got the Lawrence part, okay.
Straight up.
Exactly. He's a representative director with Mobikyo. And Daniel Skuka is the chief editor for Wireless Watch Japan. So, Lawrence, welcome into Tomorrow.
Thanks for having us on, Dave.
It's our pleasure. And Daniel, I can also pronounce that name, welcome into Tomorrow.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
It's also nice to speak with folks that I can understand a little more clearly. I've been having a little bit of a strain with some. But well, you guys do a lot of work around here. I heard you both talking Japanese earlier.
And, yeah, chototake. Daniel Skuka is much more straight up and easy to communicate with, but I'm getting there.
Yes, well, apparently you are.
It helps if you smile and bow a lot. That really smooths things.
Yes, I've discovered that. You don't really have to speak the language if you smile and bow.
Yep.
And then they just figure, in our case, you know, oh, more amazing Americans there. Well, let's just put up with them. So, and they're doing just that with us, but in a very nice way, and we're having a great time here in Japan this week. Tell me a little bit about Wireless Watch Japan, specifically, as the chief editor. What do you get involved in?
Sure. Wireless Watch Japan is a media website. It's sitting at wirelesswatch.jp. It's a it covers the business of wireless, the technology of wireless in Japan, in English. And we target English-speaking people anywhere who want to know what's going on with the mobile internet, the mobile ecosystem here in Japan.
Well, that's amazing, because everybody's always talking about Japan as being a far beyond the rest of the world, especially as it relates to mobile devices. And you guys are getting the jump on all of this and letting the rest of the world know in English what's going on and what maybe we can anticipate in the near future, or at least into tomorrow.
Yeah, there's no doubt we get to see some pretty gooey stuff here. And Japan, I'm not too sure if it's 2 years in advance anymore, but it's definitely, stuff seems to roll out here first, or, you know, a little sooner than it does in, say, Europe or the USA or
sure.
North America. So.
And why is that? We don't have the same designers or the same vigor for mobile devices around the rest of the world as they do here in Japan?
A lot of people have pointed to structural differences in the Japan mobile phone market, differences that you don't see in Europe and that you don't see in the USA. There's no doubt those exist, but on the other hand, there's a certain there's something that appeals, I think, to the Japanese spirit, if I can use a somewhat ethereal term. But you've got this little device that sits in the palm of your hand. It's perfect. It's beautiful. I mean, they really are very well designed, very high-tech devices. Stuffed inside of them are chips and electronics and memory and applications and services and all kinds of stuff. And this is your personal connection to a much larger universe out there. And it sort of fits the Japanese sense of aesthetic. Go into one of the temples in Kyoto or even here in Tokyo, and it's absolutely beautiful. This temple will have this absolutely beautiful aesthetic to it. Of course, it's surrounded by this huge, big, dirty, gray concrete city.
Yes.
But, yeah, having a cell phone just seems to really fit with Japan and the Japanese mobile ecosystem companies, the handset makers, the wireless operators, the application developers, and, of course, the content providers. They do it better than anyone else.
And you guys have your set of challenges then, because it's got to be tough to stay on top of all of this, because especially being, you know, the leader in the world with this kind of technology, it's not like you can watch, well, what did other countries do? They're starting a lot of this.
Yeah, they're definitely innovating, and certainly it's a dynamic market, and it's a competitive market. I think that's part of probably what maybe is lacking in the overseas area. If you have everybody from NEC and Panasonic and Fujitsu and Sharp and Sony, you have all of these companies that are competing, and in fact they're innovating as a result to try and get, you know, some of that market share. So I think, you know, maybe in Europe or the US you have more dominant players like a Nokia, for example, in handsets, or Motorola in the United States. And well, it is a global market, but realistically here, you know, you have like a dozen handset manufacturers that are really fighting it out. So that means that they have to do things like come up with something more interesting than the competition, like you see them putting a camera on a phone, as Sharp did in 2001. So those sort of things drive the innovation or the
I love how Daniel said they're stuffing a lot of stuff, or, you know, putting a lot of stuff and chips and whatnot. And in reality, you got to think of it that way. It's like, well, how much more stuff can they put into these little devices?
There's no doubt talking. Definitely talking to some of the folks who work at the Japanese mobile carriers. They actually will admit privately. They'll say, "Geez, we are up against the wall. We're trying to figure out what we can put in there, because they're actually pretty feature rich at this point."
Oh yeah. Well, then what are you guys reporting on as to what's around the corner and into tomorrow? What else can they do that they're not already doing? I mean, here in Japan, we're walking into 7-Elevens, very popular convenience stores here. Our audience around the U.S. can relate to that. Sure. And they're walking in and paying for their purchases with their cell phone, just swiping it by the counter and walking out with their goods. And, you know, we're all looking at them like, did they just steal that stuff? No, they paid for it with their cell phone.
Yeah, I think mobile commerce is obviously a big area, and it's obviously gaining traction. I mean, Docomo is really driving that, and I think we'll see other carriers. The other two have already announced rolling handsets that have an IC chip function that makes a mobile commerce immediate transaction. Yeah. You know, you're talking like a second or 2 seconds, and the deal is done. Actually, within plain view of here, the KDDI booth, they're showing off battery power is going to be a big issue. So they've got a methanol prototype phone that they're insisting they'll roll in the spring next year. That's probably another big development, I think, that we'll be watching, because as those phones are doing more like watching television, and again, they're showing off, you know, digital broadcast handsets as well. Battery power is a challenge. It's not a PC that's plugged into the wall. You kind of like it to work all day, so you're going to need juice. Yeah, yeah. So
and that digital broadcast Lawrence mentioned is really key. Starting April 2006 next year in Japan, the broadcasters will start doing digital TV signals. And you can see the phones right down here on the floor, the phones that will actually receive that signal. And it's not like analog. With the analog phones that exist right now, you're receiving an analog signal into the handset. If you're moving around, if you're on the train, if you're going into a building, out of a building, it's jumpy. You get a lot of interference. But with digital, either the signal's there and it's crystal clear, or it's gone. So it's really good quality.
It's going to be amazing then when that happens. And, of course, right away, the rest of the world's going to say, well, we want it. I mean, how come if this is working so well in Japan, we don't have it yet in Miami and everywhere else in the world?
Well, that's definitely one of the questions we get a lot. People say, well, you've got all that gooey stuff over there because those Japanese people just want to do things differently. They're Japanese. But in actual fact, it looks to me like people in London and Washington and New York, they want to have cameras on their phones. They want to have all this cool stuff, too.
Sure.
And there isn't that much of a difference between people country to country in what they want to do with the devices. The difference is in how the carriers, how the handset makers, how the ecosystem provides the services.
And speaking of cool phones, tell me about the couple that we have here that you guys have helped us utilize throughout our broadcast week here in Japan, and have kept us in touch with the world and our broadcast booth and our guests and everything else. There's some pretty cool devices here.
Yeah, Toshiba Hanso is at the 902. I think you guys got a couple to play with while you were here. Definitely, you know, a great phone, a 3G phone. Where do we go from that? Although it does not have the wallet function or actually a digital TV function in it, it's definitely...
Well, that's because it's almost 9 months old now.
Yeah, it's
true. It's an old phone, even though it's brand new.
It's an old phone, and I'm sure you'd be getting a lot of looks on the subway if you're in New York City with it. Yeah.
Oh, this show is a week long, and you need almost a week to see it. So you guys, I know your feet are already tired, but we'll let you get back to the show floor.
Everybody's wearing sneakers today.
Yes, no indeed. Thank you, guys. You've got to visit wirelesswatch.jp when you come by intotomorrow.com or graveline.com. You're a mouse click away from Daniel's site and Lawrence's site. Thanks so much for spending a few minutes with us. We've got to do follow-up with you guys, and it's easy. We can set up, I'm sure, phone interviews and get you back into the U.S. that way. And if you're ever traveling in our neck of the woods in Miami, Florida, a little far away from here in Japan, but let us know, and let's get you on the show. It's going to be a lot of fun to find out what else is cooking in this industry.
Okay, thanks. Super to stay in touch going forward. Thanks for
Absolutely.
Yep. Thanks, Dave. Thanks.
Our pleasure. This portion of Into Tomorrow from C-Tech Japan, brought to you in part by Diskkeeper, the number one automatic disk defragmenter. Speed up your PC with new Diskkeeper 9. Visit diskkeeper.com for your free trial copy today. Dave Graveline bringing you further Into Tomorrow from C-Tech Japan. Don't go away. There's lots more to come on the Advanced Radio Network. Very clever, these guys here, Chris and Steve, surprising us with various and sundry pieces of music in addition to our Into Tomorrow theme. Welcome back. I'm Dave Graveline. We are broadcasting from C-Tech Japan, and we thank you for tuning in. I want to remind all of our armed forces listening around the world that we are still doing our Thanks to Our Troop giveaway. Come by the website at graveline.com or intotomorrow.com. Click right there on the link that says Giveaway for Our Troops. And we're giving away 10 DMC-8280 digital audio players with replay radio upgrade keys built in. Of course, postage by Endicia. They're the ones sending out all of our prizes every week, but including to the troops. Only requirement is that you be a U.S. military member serving in active duty across the world, anywhere outside the U.S., and that's the qualification. With an APO address, we have the opportunity to send one of these devices to you. And we're fully loading them, too. All kinds of music, all sorts of neat stuff. So hopefully you have plenty to entertain yourself with at any point. Again, graveline.com. Click on the troops giveaway graphic right there on the main page. And hurry, because we're giving them away, I believe, starting next week. So I'm trying to keep track of our schedule. Speaking of next week, by the way, we'll be in New York City for Digital Life next week as we return back to the U.S. We hope you stay tuned for that. ATP Electronics, manufacturer of digital flash media, and they've got a whole bunch of very cool things they're showing here at C-Tech. We're delighted to have found their vice president, Danny Lin, to be able to join us and get him off the show floor and chat with him for a minute. Danny, welcome into tomorrow. How are you?
Oh, great, great, Dave. First of all, really appreciate the opportunity to come to the show. Heard a lot about this show a long time ago, but never had a chance to kind of participate in there. So,
well, we're glad we got you then. I hope what you heard was good.
Very good, very good, very good.
Excellent.
So hopefully I can describe the digital flash media product that's, in the marketplace, why it's so demand is so high right now, for all the digital mobile devices.
Sure, and more portable devices,
yes,
are becoming available, and folks, us consumers, are demanding more and more content, more and more storage capability. Mm-hmm. You're showing us some awesome storage devices, if you will,
right,
that are truly amazing.
Samsung Mobile just introduced a couple months ago a mobile phone with a 7-megapixel camera.
Oh, my God.
So the trend in terms of integrating all these different functions, digital devices into one unit is tremendous. Where do you put all these data, right? You're going to have your movies, your MP3 music, your games. So where do you put them? You need a storage device for that.
True.
And definitely the flash card or flash media, digital flash media with high capacity cards is where you need it for the device.
Well, now, Danny, why so many formats?
There are so many formats, like you mentioned, right? Compact flash traditionally was the dominant one for digital cameras, but
for a while,
right? Yeah. With the size, it's a limitation. It's a little too big for all these miniature function devices. So.
Yeah.
what we feel is what's going to be the predominant format. Of course, this market will shake out, but predominantly the SD or the MMC format will be the dominant formats in the industry.
Storage capacity is important to all of us consumers, and we all continue to be blown away at the amount of storage on such a small device.
Yes.
You were showing us some incredible micro, mini SDs,
and
little tiny chips that I'm afraid to lose because they get lost in the palm of my hand even.
Sure.
That can handle right now half a gig, and you mentioned very soon a gig.
Right.
And then we slip that into an adapter that's a standard SD size.
Sure. And even just a regular SD size, there we are, ATP is already manufactured up to 2 gigabyte and 4 gigabyte in the next quarter.
Wow.
Okay, so you can see this advancement for the, let's say, the flash card technology is advanced very, very fast. And it's very, very likely in the foreseeable future, flash card storage will actually replace, let's say, the hard drive industry.
Really?
Yes.
So you think the hard drive industry is running a little scared, and they should be at this
point? Well, I mean, you know, there's definitely different application. Of course, right now the price point is a little, there's still a little gap between the flash cards versus the hard drive. But a very good example is, for example, the Apple iPod Nano. The new product, everything's flash-based.
Yep.
There's no hard drive in there.
And a lot of our other new portable devices are becoming flash-based anyway.
Exactly.
And we don't really have a choice, which tells us, though, that those companies have done the investigation, and they're thinking, well, where's the future? If we're going to be investing a gazillion dollars in new products, flash memory, in many cases, is the way to go.
Sure, definitely. The advantage for that is much better reliability. As you know, hard drive on a mobile device, if you drop it,
even with sensing
that
technology and, and so forth, you know, park it, well, it doesn't always work that way. Flash drive can handle a lot more abuse.
Yeah, definitely the flash card is a solid-state device. And one of the key things actually on the power side, power consumption, flash is much, much less than the hard drive.
Another good point. Yeah.
So, you know, mobile devices, the battery power is very, very important for everyday use.
Sure. Visit ATPInc.com.
Yes.
When you come by our website at Graveline.com, you're just a mouse click away from Danny Lynn's site. And we appreciate, Danny, you spending a few minutes with us. We got to get you on another upcoming show. There's so much more to talk about. Let's make sure we do that. And whether it's one of our shows we're traveling at or when we can get you on the phone or otherwise on a regular show from Miami, we want to have you involved. There's a lot more to cover.
Sure. I'm glad to share my knowledge with you.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Danny Lynn, Vice President with ATP Electronics Advanced Technology and Packaging.
Yes.
And, boy, they've got that down pat. Again, it's ATP Inc. Dot com. This portion of Into Tomorrow brought to you in part by Tiger Direct. If you need great prices on computer equipment and supplies, head over to tigerdirect.com/Dave. That's tigerdirect.com/Dave for Into Tomorrow listeners, special items and prices, and lots more. We're back from SeaTech Japan near Tokyo. Dave Graveline on the Advanced Radio Network. Broadcasting this week from Japan, SeaTech Japan, I'm Dave Graveline, bringing you further Into Tomorrow. We had the chance to meet Sony's new chairman and CEO, Sir Howard Stringer. Of course, it's yet to be proven how a British knight can lead a Japanese company, but he does have big aspirations. Delivering one of the keynote addresses here at SeaTech Japan, Stringer talked a lot about how he plans to sharpen the company's focus in an effort to reclaim the number one consumer electronics position that they've lost.
We must deliver truly differentiated champion products that afford our customers the unique, compelling, and personalized experiences they all desire.
Stringer also spoke of the record-breaking success of the PlayStation Portable game platform, as well as its yet unutilized features and capabilities.
Only 9 months after its launch, PlayStation Portable has sold 6 million units and is the most successful portable game console in history. With its astonishing picture quality, the PlayStation Portable has been a great success globally, playing movies as well as games in the Universal Media Disc format. And the device's functionality is set to expand further. Users of the current PSP will soon be able to deploy the device's built-in Wi-Fi to watch video from home entertainment terminals anytime, anywhere in the world. And expect to see a PlayStation Portable with a high-capacity memory stick which will be able to store hours of television and film content and be synchronized with a digital video recorder.
The Sony CEO talked to us about the coming PS3 with its new features, including Blu-ray, of course, and how it will be more powerful than Microsoft's new Xbox.
The PS3, due out next spring, promises to be our biggest breakthrough yet. Words do not adequately convey the visual and emotional impact of the PS3. It plays in high definition and high drama, and it plays Blu-ray, the high-definition disc that will become the standard of excellence for a new generation of recorded media. The Cell microprocessor, which Sony developed with IBM and Toshiba, clearly sets the PS3 apart. It is 35 times faster than the processor in the PS2, with 10 times the power of the standard PC and twice the processing power of Microsoft's new Xbox 360. This technology allows for supercomputer-like performance, movie-quality images, and a degree of realism that is simply amazing in a home gaming device. It's been said in the press that no other chip in the world can touch it. And we are confident that this is true.
Sir Stringer continued to suggest the path of future technologies and strategies within the Sony organization.
Sony will continue to invest aggressively in cell and imaging technologies like CMOS, as well as in key components and next-generation display device technologies, with particular emphasis on organic light emitting diode, or OLED, technology, which we think shows great promise for both mobile and home devices. We invest in these technologies for the sake of our customers, for whom these innovations offer a world of exciting possibilities.
The Sony CEO said the adoption of HD technology will lead to enormous opportunities for sales of high-definition devices and content of all kinds.
That's why we are increasing the percentage of Sony products supporting HD from 35% today to 75% in fiscal year 2007. High definition will be at the center of the digital living room, and so will Sony.
With respect to the intensifying battle for next-generation DVD supremacy, Stringer said Sony is currently testing discs in their lab with the capacity to, get this, store 23 hours or more of high-definition video on its Blu-ray format.
And because of its superior storage capacity, we have obtained broad support from Blu-ray from both the IT industry and the majority of major film studios. In fact, just yesterday, Paramount Studios announced its endorsement of Blu-ray, joining an already strong coalition of Hollywood supporters. Thomas Lazinski, president of Paramount Pictures Worldwide Home Entertainment, was quoted as saying, "We have been intrigued by the broad support of Blu-ray, especially the key advantage of including Blu-ray in PlayStation 3. After more detailed assessment and new data on cost, manufacturability, and copy protection solutions, we have now made the decision to move ahead with the Blu-ray format."
Sony's chairman and CEO, Sir Howard Stringer. He went on to talk about the digital world being a work in progress. Well, we certainly agree with that. We're back from CTEC Japan right after this with more exhibitors and keynoters and lots more excitement. From near Tokyo, I'm Dave Graveline. This is Into Tomorrow on the Advanced Radio Network. I love this song. It makes me want to whistle along with it, too. Welcome back. Can you tell? We're broadcasting from Japan. It's CTEC Japan 2005 outside of Tokyo. I'm Dave Graveline. This is Into Tomorrow. We're delighted that you've tuned in. CTEC 2004 attracted a record 182,000 people. Well, CTEC Japan 2005 is expected to exceed 200,000 visitors. There are 293 companies representing 28 countries other than Japan. Total of about 800 companies here with almost 3,000 booths in 8 exhibition halls. This is a huge opportunity for us to share some of the very cool technology, especially from this part of the world, Japan and other surrounding countries that are here. 51 of the exhibitors, by the way, are from the USA, the third highest represented foreign country and the most heavily represented non-Asian country, even with only 51 exhibitors here. Not too bad. Some pretty interesting stats that Mike has compiled for us. Kyocera is a manufacturer of consumer products and electronic components. And as I turn to my left here in our big broadcast booth up high overlooking the show floor, I can see that they're just beyond towards the back corner there of this particular hall that we are broadcasting from. So our next guest didn't have too far to walk. She's the team leader for international communications with Kyocera Corporation, Masumi Sakurai.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us on the program. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
I know that a lot of our listeners might be familiar with some Kyocera product back in the United States and around the world for that matter, but tell me what you're involved in.
Okay, thank you very much. Kyocera today is supplying various kinds of products. For example, industrial ceramics, semiconductor packages, electronic components, solar energy systems, and telecommunications equipment, laser printers and copiers, some consumer products. Now at Kyocera booth, we are demonstrating the iBurst. The iBurst is a system which offers a wireless broadband internet environment developed by a collaboration of Kyocera and an American company, Raycom Inc. And the iBurst is the wireless broadband system which can offer maximum 1 Mbps for downlink. And also, iBurst can achieve to deliver the wireless broadband internet network showing very stable and high throughput, even when there are accesses from lots of users simultaneously.
Really? And it can handle many users then?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Very good. Now, is this something that's going to be available here in Japan initially, I'm assuming?
Well, in Japan, it's still in testing. Uh-huh. But iBurst is already in service in two countries. Last year, in April of 2004, in Australia, yes, Australia has started the service using the iBurst, and the next country is South Africa.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. And the third, we've heard that the third member will come in this fall, the Azerbaijan.
What are the most common applications for iBurst technology then? Where do you see it being used mostly?
Well, we are producing the two types of products already. So the first one is a PCMCIA card type. So okay. If you can, you know, put that card into your, you know, the,
your laptop.
The PC. Yes,
yeah.
That's right. And you can, you know, enjoy the video streaming outside, even the outside. And the second in the product is the desktop type. So you can use the iBurst indoors with you know, the using that desktop, you know, cables.
Oh, okay, tablets. Very good. So this is an exciting new technology with Kyocera that maybe, as I say, maybe we'll see in the U.S. and other parts of the world.
Yes.
And I can see how handy it can become. What other interesting things is Kyocera working on these days? What can we expect from the company maybe into tomorrow?
You mean with iBurst?
Well, or with any other Kyocera product that you can talk about.
Okay.
You know, what's exciting? What else is happening soon, maybe?
Well, I think the unique, you know, characteristic which Kyocera has is that we are, you know, providing various kinds of products from the components and the parts level up to the devices and equipments as well as its service. You know, the iBurst is kind of a service.
Yeah.
And so the Kyocera has a lot of great companies, and we are they're trying to make a synergy. In group as a group.
Sure, working with many partners.
Yes, yes. So we are at Kyocera is the big group and spread all over the world, and we can combine each and expertise and utilize and it it by synergy. And so I think it's a unique point that we can offer to the market.
Absolutely. Very good. And, of course, if our listeners want to learn more about what Kyocera is working on or has already available, you can visit the website at kyocera.com,
yes,
which is Kyocera, kyocera.com. Or when they come by our website, intotomorrow.com or graveline.com, you're just a mouse click away from Masumi's website. And thank you for joining us. We'll let you get back to your busy exhibit on the show floor here at SeaTech.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Masumi Sakurai, Team Leader International Communications with Kyocera Corporation here at SeaTech Japan. Want to remind you that StreamGuys.com provides the live audio streaming for all 3 hours of Into Tomorrow via our website. Come on by Graveline.com or IntoTomorrow.com and know that you can always hear all 3 hours live thanks to StreamGuys.com. And if, by the way, if you should miss any of our show live, know that our free podcasts are available as well. Come by the site and click on My Banana, and that'll get you to our free podcast. And, of course, check out our archives for any of the previous shows that you may have missed. We invite you to stay tuned. There's more coming up next hour. Don't want to miss it from SeaTech Japan, including another great guest joining us, the president and CEO from Kodak, Antonio Perez, will be with us next hour from here in Japan. We hope you stay tuned as Into Tomorrow continues.